I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB with Augustine Hadalik, who's back here at Symphony Hall for the Beethoven Violin Concerto. Augustine, thanks a lot for taking a few minutes after rehearsal to talk to me today. I appreciate it.
Hi, it's great to see you again.
So let's look at the big picture going on for you right now. I noticed on your website that at the beginning of this year, you put out a couple of little statistics that I thought were really interesting. You said that in 2018, the year 2018, you played 14 different concertos. And you said that you did something like 113 performances of concertos and recitals and chamber music. And I have no idea in context what how busy that feels or how normal that feels. Does 2019 feel the same way? And is that about a normal pace for you to have that number of pieces in your sort of under your fingers at any one time and that many performances?
Well, they're not all at the same time, but that's during the course of the year that a lot of repertoire comes up. It doesn't start out sort of as a conscious choice. Sometimes it happens due to what different presenters and orchestras are able to program, and so then it becomes a lot of repertoire. I always feel the wonderful thing about it is that I never get bored with any piece, and I always feel very excited to play each piece. I think that the Beethoven Concerto is a piece that I'll never really get bored with, but still there's a special excitement if I play it again after a couple of months of playing other things. And sometimes also it brings to my attention certain connections between pieces that then I realize in other pieces I've played, or that comes from the Beethoven, you know, like you see how these works influence each other. So there's also something you learn from it. But I find this change of repertoire and change of style to be very refreshing. When I first started to play a lot of concerts, maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to handle 115 performances. And that's actually probably the record and more performances than I maybe planned on doing. You know, I wasn't counting the number of nights I'm on stage. But it has eventually become, yes, it feels normal now for me to be on stage, and I'm very happy about that it's a place where I feel very comfortable and at home and happy to be on stage before the audience. Because when I first started performing a lot 12 years ago, it was hard to walk on stage. I was very nervous. I was, you know, it's something that many performers have to gradually gain this confidence and this sense that this is a normal thing to do.
This is the other thing, though, that came across in this note that you wrote for your website, that part of what 2018 was for you was going back to Indianapolis to play with the Indianapolis Symphony. And you mentioned it may have been your first time back since you won the Indianapolis competition in 2006. And you mentioned that you took a moment to just sort of reflect on that time and where you are now. And you say that clearly one of the things that's changed since then is the sheer volume of performances that you go through in a year. And another thing is your comfort and your ease in taking that on. Is there anything else? I mean, what other things would you say have changed since your career really started to take off after that 2006 competition win?
You know, I didn't really notice these changes as they were happening because they were very gradual. That over the course of many, many performances, I gradually feel more at ease, more relaxed, more spontaneous, more just more myself on stage, less self-conscious, less nervous, more confident. So it was when I was looking back last year. I had been to Indianapolis in the meantime, but it was the same piece that I was playing again that I had played at the competition. It was the second Bartok concerto. Okay. That I had played in the competition, and now 12 years later I was playing it with the same orchestra, many of the same players on the same stage, and that's when I really realized how different it felt. And it was a good feeling. That I felt like, well, you know, maybe I've learned something in these 12 years. Of course, there's also, as a violinist, you never stop working on your playing, on many aspects of your playing, trying to understand violin technique and how the instrument works. And so my way of my way of playing is now quite different than it was then. And again, it was many small changes that kind of accumulate. And also how I play certain, how I interpret certain pieces has changed. I would say I've learned maybe in that time, I've probably learned the most from conductors that I worked with. Sometimes they're really interesting ideas or insights that come up in rehearsal and that I'll remember and sometimes even write down when it's something that I feel was really important.
So we were just talking a second ago about the Beethoven and the fact you over the years have done this in lots of ways. You mentioned this sort of stately, sort of grand way of approaching it with a sort of full, you know, lush textures in the orchestra. And then there are other ways that some orchestras, you mentioned to me, chamber orchestras might take a lighter fleet kind of approach, partly based on the number of players on the stage, but also just a different interpretive outlook. And tell me about where you feel you're lying with the Beethoven right now and a little bit about how you've arrived there.
For a long time, this piece was played quite dramatically, so with very large forces in the orchestra, with a very broad approach and kind of expansive singing, violin playing, where even a lot of the passage work and ornamentation and fast notes that you're playing above the melodies that are in the orchestra were really fleshed out and played with a lot of time. And when I first learned the piece, I heard it this way, and I've played some performances. I mean, one that really stays in my mind, it was with Blomstedt in San Francisco about 6 years ago, and I totally loved it. But at the same time, I had this feeling that the first movement already in a way felt like a slow movement, that there is a, you know, this is still a work from the classical period. And even though Beethoven was always, you know, way ahead of his time and looking, you know, to the future and everything, it still comes out of that style. And I did have the experience that when I was playing it with some chamber orchestras, it had this kind of energy and freshness and a little bit of a quicker pace. And it somehow felt right to me. If there was no violin part, if the piece was only that orchestral overture at the beginning, everyone would do it faster, basically. It's because violinists slow down in certain places. And then there's the question, well, you need to slow down, or maybe not everywhere, or maybe some places. This is something that I don't know if it's possible to ever find just the right tempo, just the right approach, because it's very easy to also then overshoot the mark and go to the other extreme, and then it loses something. And with every orchestra that I rehearse this with, I'm trying to find some kind of balance between having this energy that it feels like a first movement with that's also in some parts very dramatic, very fateful, you know, but also has these quiet moments, intimate moments. Well, one example of that is after the cadenza, when the theme comes back and it almost feels maybe like a memory, and it really feels right to play that a bit slower, and that this is basically the entire coda is very, very calm. And that definitely feels right, that should be a bit slower than the way the movement started.
Yeah, yeah. And one more question. You're using, I think, the Kreisler cadenza. For your Brahms recording, you wrote a cadenza.
Yes.
Has you ever been tempted with this piece to write your own cadenza?
Yes. I would almost say it's on my to-do list that I want to write a cadenza for the Beethoven. But I found this to be a bit more intimidating, a bit more daunting, actually, than the Brahms. Partially because I think so highly of the Kreisler cadenza. I think that they're such great cadenzas. The first movement cadenza by Fritz Kreisler creates this high point at the end where the two main themes of the first movement meet and are played at the same time. And returning after that, returning to the piece when the orchestra comes in feels even more magical. So it's a kind of hard to top. to top that.
I can imagine.
But at some point, I do want to try, because I do believe in violinists writing their own cadenzas, and I've made the experience with the Brahms cadenza, which also at first I thought, well, this is going to be so hard, you know, it's going to be good enough. It seemed pretty daunting, but once I did it, I enjoyed the process very much, and I felt like I also learned things about the piece I hadn't noticed before, and so I do want to do it. But yes, this week I'm playing the Kreisler cadenzas.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah, Augustine, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it, and welcome back to Boston.
All right, thank you so much. Great to see you here. Yeah.